reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously every day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the master's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the nether world where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. So he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But he is comforted now here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing, who might wish to go from our side to yours or your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'Oh no,' he said, 'Father Abraham, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' And Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we've been pondering, the whole purpose of Lent is to help us to become like the Father, to share his mind and desires through prayer, to share his hungers through fasting, to share in the distribution of his own generosity through almsgiving. And we know that all three of these result in something. We prayed at the beginning of Mass today that a fire with the Holy Spirit, we may be found steadfast in faith and effective in works. The fruit of prayer, as Pope Benedict used to always say, is charity. Fasting is to help us really starve for justice to others, as we heard on the Friday and Saturday after Ash Wednesday with Isaiah 58, to share our bread with the hungry, not to turn the back on our own, etc. And almsgiving is about changing our heart. That word, almsgiving, comes from the Greek elemosyne, which means a heart that's been transformed for the poor. Almsgiving is not just benefactions, objectively understood, but almsgiving is a subject who sacrifices lovingly in mercy for those who are in need. So the real fruit of Lent is ultimately to transform us by God's merciful love so that we, having received it, might fully, to the extent of our capacities, share it. That's why sins of omission are such a big deal. And that's why today's gospel reading is such a blessed wake-up call for us. It's a dramatic scene that Jesus sketches. This rich man, dressed in purple, meaning royal garments and fine linen, the type of linen that would take a year to buy in working every day, dining sumptuously every day, three meals. There was a poor man at his gate, covered with sores, could have been a leper, because in the ancient world, dogs used to lick the sores of lepers. And so dogs were always considered unclean because they were always associated with lepers. He was hungering just for the scraps that fell from this rich man's table. the rich man ultimately went to hell, not because he mocked the poor man, not because he came out and beat the poor man, not because he sent Doberman Pinschers and Rottweilers to attack the poor man. But he did nothing. He just didn't even lift a finger to help this poor man. He knew his name, though. When he needed something from the poor man after death, he knew how to use it as evocative. He turned to Abraham and said, "Have pity on me." I wasn't pitiful on anyone else, but "have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering torment." And then Christ, through Abraham, gives us some lessons. A lesson about the infinite chasm between heaven and hell. But also something else. Last year, Pope Francis wrote the most beautiful of his Lenten messages. And it was precisely about this scene. And he described three key lessons that we're supposed to grasp from this scene. The first is that every person put into our life is a gift. This rich man didn't grasp that Lazarus was a gift. Someone who gave him the conditions for the possibility of becoming a true good Samaritan. Somebody who was easy to love. It's a great gift that we have here in New York. St. John Vianney used to say, because he was so busy in ours, even though when he had gotten there were only 260 people there, so many were coming to ours, and he was so busy that God, in order to help him grow in charity, sent all the poor of France there. He didn't have to go out looking for them, because he would find them even on the short little path between the rectory and the church. Similarly, in New York, we don't have to look very far to find those who are in need. Visitation, your phone even rings off the hook with women who are in need in one way or the other. Every person is a gift given by God, the great giver, with a capital G, but also a gift subjectively to us to help train us to become more like God, to pray for them, to fast as they hunger, and to have our heart transformed with mercy for their misery. It's the first thing Pope Francis said about this scene. We're supposed to see others as a gift. Second thing he said about this scene, that the reason why the rich man didn't do anything was because his heart had been corrupted. That riches and a desire for riches and greed and basically materialism can lead to pride, can lead to sensuality, and ultimately it can lead to a blindness of the eyes and of the heart to the needs of others. We start focusing so much on feeding our own appetites that we fail to see somebody else who has nothing to eat. We see how this whole process happens in the first and the second readings today. The first and second readings, because the psalm is always reading from sacred scripture. But that the difference between Lazarus and the rich man was where their heart was. The rich man was cursed because he trusted in human beings. He sought strength in his flesh, whose heart was turned away from the Lord and where the Lord was turning. He's like a barren bush in the desert, standing in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. To continue with the song, he followed the counsel of the wicked and the sensual. He walked in the way of sinners, sat in the company of the insolent, looking in the mirror. He was ultimately like chaff, that despite his mega wealth on earth, when he died, there was nothing there. Nothing. Hebrew word for holiness is kadosh, which literally means heavy or solid, real. Lack of holiness is chaff that can just be blown away. That was the type of life that had corroded the rich man's heart. Lazarus was otherwise. Lazarus is the Hebrew Eleazar, which means God takes pity. God is merciful. He trusted in the Lord's mercy. Trust in the Lord, hoped in the Lord. He was like a tree planted beside the water, stretching out his roots to the stream. He was one who, even though the dogs were licking his sores, meditated on the law of the Lord, delighting in it day and night. Even though the rich man wouldn't stick his finger in water, to put at least a little cold water in the tongue of Lazarus, he was like someone who was a tree planted near running water on the inside. This rich man's heart was just not turned to the Lord, and it eventually became blind to the needs of all of those around. The fundamental journey of Lent is toward a heart transplant. In the seventh reading on the Easter Vigil, we will get the exclamation point of the entire Old Testament, in which through the prophet Ezekiel, we will hear God's prophecy to take out our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh by sprinkling clean water upon us, not just water to give something to our thirst, but that living water to help transform us to true life. The third aspect of what Pope Francis said last year in his letter was about the importance of the Word of God and what the Word of God is summoning us to, and how we really do need to focus on whether we're taking it with the utmost seriousness as the gift that it is. There's this dialogue between Abraham and the rich man. And once Abraham said that Lazarus wasn't going to be able to stop the torture, the flames, at least this man loved his brothers, unlike his failure to love Lazarus. I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house so that he may warn my five brothers, lest they too come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And the rich man replied, no, basically because they were ignoring the same law and the prophets that the rich man was. No, but if somebody from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And then in a curious allusion to Jesus' own resurrection, he said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. If they're not seeking the will of God as made explicit by the Lord in sacred scripture, they're going to have the same idolatry of heart and will make excuses even should someone rise from the dead, just like we saw in the hardened hearts of the Sanhedrin, the scribes, and the Pharisees, that even when they got word that Jesus had risen from the dead, they refused to believe. For us, sacred scripture speaks to us powerfully, even today, about the need to be transformed in charity, to become, as we've been hearing this week, great through having the ambition to serve all, to give our lives as a ransom for many, to do what God told us through Isaiah, and really hunger for what God hungers. But the choice is for us. Today, we have had the Word of God proclaimed to us. It's a chance for us to root ourselves in this Word, meditating on it day and night. And whereas the five brothers or the rich man didn't have someone rise from the dead to come back and show them how important this was, we do, and we're about to receive that risen one's body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion.